Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this meeting of the Senate Education Committee. It is 3:31 p.m. here on Monday, April 28th. We are meeting in the Belts Committee Room here in the beautiful State Capitol Building of Juneau, where it is raining outside. I just want to remind folks who are here in the room, if they could please mute their cell phones. Documents for today's meetings, including all the presentations, are available on BASIS. They also have been distributed to members, and additional copies are available for folks right there by the door. Members present today, Senator Cronk, myself, Senator Lukey Gail-Tobin. We will be hearing several presentations today, and thus we do not need a quorum to conduct business. I want to thank Marnay from the Juneau LIO for moderating today's meeting, and Mary Gwen from Senate Records for being with us once again to document today's meetings. All right, on the agenda today is a topic that I find titillating, and that is the Big Five school district fund balances. We'll be hearing from folks and representatives from the five largest school districts on what is going on with their fund balances and how can we understand how fund balances work within the scope of school finances. Folks who will be joining us today is Andy Ratliff, the Chief Financial Officer of the Anchorage School District, who will be with us on Teams. We will be joined by Superintendent Luke Maynard and Chief Financial Officer Andrew DeGraw from the Fairbanks North Star Borough School District. We also have with us here in person Frank Hauser, the Superintendent of the Juneau School District. We are joined on Teams by Superintendent Clayton Holland from Kenai Peninsula Borough School District, and we also have online his Deputy Superintendent of the Mat-Su Borough School District, Catherine Gardner. All right. I believe that we have a 10-minute time frame per presentation. And so our first up, we will be hearing from the Anchorage School District. And I believe we have someone here to advance the slides. In addition to that, the voice that you will hear come over the airways is the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Ratliff. Mr. Ratliff, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
We can. You coming in loud and clear. All right. Please begin your presentation when you are ready.
Great. Thank you. Good afternoon, members of the Senate Education Committee. For the record, my name is Andy Ratliff, and I'm the Chief Financial Officer for the Anchorage School District. I appreciate you allowing me to be here today, or at least virtually. For this presentation, I'm really going to give a brief overview of ASD's fund balances, the impacts of one-time funding, the use of attrition accounts, and the reports that show how and where the district reports these items to hopefully dispel any misconceptions about ASD's finances that may be floating about. Next slide, please. The first misconception is that ASD has $121 million in our savings that can be used to prevent future reductions of staff for next year. In reality, the majority of these funds are either restricted for use or have already been dedicated. The $121 million figure comes from the district's audited financial statements for the year ended June 30th, 2024, which shows ASD did have those funds at the time. Of that $121 million, $37 million is planned to be spent this year, which we're on track to do. Nearly $50 million is planned to be spent next year, along with over $60 million in reductions to get to a balanced budget. And then nearly $27 million is restricted for use as it is to preserve the municipality of Anchorage's bond rating, which helps us get lower interest rates when bonds are ultimately sold. That leaves a little under $8 million that could truly be spendable in the event of an emergency. Next slide, please.
Mr. Ratliff, just very quick, of the $7.9 million, can you tell us how much of the 10% does that equate to your budget in terms of your fund balance?
That'd be a little over 1% of our expenditures.
Thank you.
So this is the state compliance report of ASD's fund balances presented in our FY24 audited financial statements. This report shows the $121 million as unreserved fund balance, or about 18% of our expenditures. It also shows the categories of fund balance that are considered reserved and not subject to the 10% limitation. This includes funding for encumbrances, inventory, and prepaid items, as well as self-insurance, impact aid, and student allotments. But for the purpose of the discussion, I really wanted to focus on what is considered unreserved and spendable. The totality of all these fund balances reserves are what creates the cash reserves necessary to meet cash flow needs throughout the year, as some payments are not consistent by month to month. The next slide, will show ASD creates a separate report that is also included in our audited financial statements that further breaks down the $121 million, including the $37 million to support the next year's budget. That's the subsequent year's expenditures, the $26 million in bond rating, and then $58 million as unassigned. The $58 million is where the $50 million that we're using to support next fiscal year's budget is drawn from. There is also a comparison of reporting standards based on the State of Alaska reporting model and the Governmental Accounting Standards Board, which highlights the different reporting standards that the districts are required to report on. However, I mean, that's a lesson we can probably save for another time doing the crosswalk between the state and the GASB definitions. Next slide, please. The next misconception that's been brought up is that ASD did not spend any of the $49 million in one-time funds that it received in the current year. ASD has fully incorporated that amount into the FY25 budget in addition to spending down $37 million in fund balance. I think there are two things that are causing some confusion on this. The first one is timing. The district's budget report to the state is due July 15th. We did not know how much funding was going to be received until June 28th of that year, leaving little or no time to do a full budget revision and get board approval before the state's deadline, particularly when our board isn't in session over the summer. The board subsequently voted to approve the adopted budget in August, which included the $49 million in one-time funds. The second thing that might be causing some confusion would be the amount of fund balance remaining the amount that we're using for next year is the same amount as the one-time funding. Because of the same amount, really coincidentally, it's in the same ballpark, though, so I think it's led to other folks thinking that we might have just saved that money when in reality it's just carried over from prior years. Next slide.
Mr. Ratliff, if you will let me interrupt, we were just joined by Senator Bjorkman at 3:38 p.m. Please continue.
Thank you. So on the next slide, this is our general fund revenue summary for ASD's adopted budget for the current year, FY25. You can see that the district utilized both the $49 million in one-time funds as well as the $37 million in fund balance to prevent further cuts this year. And this was what was approved in August after we were required to submit the state report. Next slide. So really, the last misconception I really wanted to address today is that the district has an extra $41 million in HR accounts, as it's been described, that could be used to prevent teacher reductions. ASD incorporates an estimate of unspent funds into its budget to try and prevent having a lot of excess funding at the end of the year, thereby increasing fund balance. The basic concept of this model of budgeting is shown in the example below. If you have $100 in revenue and you know that historically some of that has gone unspent, you might create a budget that allows for $105 to be spent and taking a calculated risk that of that $105, $5 will not be spent. The risk being that everyone spends all the money they are budgeting and you end up being in the red. ASD uses that same concept in our budget, estimating about $41 million will go unspent, and that has allowed that money to be reinvested into the current budget. The amount of savings from attrition has grown over the years, and that's generally due to more turnover and vacancies amid funding uncertainty and ever-increasing job requirements. It's resulted in substantial savings in some years. The amount estimated for attrition has grown over the years as well, and that has followed the actual attrition rate ever higher. The higher the attrition estimate goes, the more risk the district takes on. Taking on more risk at the same time as spending down fund balance reserves could put us in a precarious position in the event of a true emergency such as a fire, earthquake, or even unexpected drops in enrollment. For the current year and next, we have about $41 million again budgeted as that expected attrition savings from vacancies and turnover. Next slide. So in the next three pages, this is actually our projections for our year-end fund balance. The first page is on our revenue estimates. And here you can see we're going to be about $37 million in total underneath our as a negative variance in our revenue. And that represents not the $37 million in fund balance that we were projecting to spend. that's very close. On the next play, on the next slide, on the expense side, this is where you can see the amount that was estimated for attrition in two different accounts. So we have attrition for both salaries and benefits. You'll see the benefits is higher than the salaries, and that's generally for folks waiving medical insurance is how that money accrues. But again, we have that as a negative amount in our budget, so we can put more money into other areas and try to recapture the savings. So overall, we have about $8.4 million or so as a positive variance on the expenditures. And then we plan on transferring about $7 million of that out to pay for the, to cover high costs of transportation and potentially some much needed capital repairs. The summary page on the next slide will show our ending unreserved fund balance for the year should be around, the summary page shows that the expenditures are expected to exceed our revenues by about $36 million. That's our revenues under our expenditures. And then our ending unreserved fund balance for the year should be around $84 million, with $27 of that being restricted for our bond rating, $50 million planned to be incorporated into the budget or planned to be used for next year, and leaving about $7.5 million or so in truly unassigned spending. So the state reporting may show that we have $84 million spending available once we do our audit for next year. In reality, it's going to be about $7.5 million based on the categorization of those reserves. So and then on the last slide, just wanted to show how that $49.8 million or $50 million or so was incorporated into our FY26 budget so far. This is what our board has approved and sent to our municipality. And once we get any adjustments to state funding, we'll go back and revise this, but it will be in the context of with, just like we did last year, depending on the timing, our board may or may not be able to get it done before the state report is due. But so the $50 million coupled with about $60 million plus in reductions is how we balanced our preliminary budget based on no statutory changes in funding. And really, there isn't any sort of other pot of money that is being hidden or otherwise unaccounted for that could be used to alleviate these massive reductions in the current budget as has been suggested by some folks. I appreciate for those that have reached out to verify the information they are receiving and would happily answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Ratliff. Is there any questions from committee members? Seeing none, I want to thank you again for this very thorough overview. It is helpful to understand and have an expert walk us through the different pieces. Senator Bjorkman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Ratliff, just so I'm clear, on your summary page there regarding expenditures, your subsequent year expenditure of 49.8, is that for fiscal year 26 or 27?
Fiscal year 26, so next fiscal year.
Okay, so that is already included in the budget that you guys have built for next school year that we also are providing funding for now.
Correct.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Bjorkman. Seeing no other questions, we'll move on to our next presenter, which is Superintendent Meinert and Chief Finance Officer DeGraw from the Fairbanks North Star Borough School District. Can you hear us?
Yeah. Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Is this Mr. DeGraw?
This is Andy DeGraw, yes.
Excellent. I believe Mr. Meinert is unavailable at this moment, so this is a show of one.
Yep, it'll just be me today. Appreciate the opportunity, Chair Tobin and members of the committee. Appreciate the opportunity to talk a little bit today about the fund balance position of the Fairbanks School District. We'll go to the first slide there. Next slide. This first slide is an overview of our general fund balance, and I'll just summarize that we got a bunch of different fund balances in Fairbanks. I'll summarize all of them, start obviously with the biggest fund. These are, just point out, as Mr. Ratliff did, these are audited FY24 numbers from our audited financial statements. I didn't include any of our actual financial statements in the presentation, but I can provide those if required. So again, beginning with the general fund, starting, the bottom number is actually the total general fund number that we have with all components considered, just shy of $33 million. The top line there is our actual unrestricted unassigned amount, which is the amount we have available to spend. So about $13.5 million. For context, that represents approximately 3 weeks of expenditures in the Fairbanks School District. So 3 weeks of money sitting on the sideline. The other components there, non-spendable and restricted, those are mainly inventory. So non-spendable, meaning inventories, items on shelves, and then our homeschool, our correspondence allotments that are due to our homeschool families. The impact aid number, at the end of FY24, we had a little over $16 million in impact aid money. We receive those dollars in advance, so those dollars we receive are earmarked and assigned to our FY25 current year budget. So at the end of FY24, again, we had $16 million of our general fund. It was impact aid money that we had already budgeted for our FY25 school year. And then the last number, outstanding purchase orders, so just a little over $2 million in purchases in process at the fiscal year end. So purchases that were started, the process had begun, and those purchases were in process of being made. So again, total of $33 million showing, but about $13.5 million available to the district to spend. So going to the next slide, and a couple of our other larger funds, our transportation fund, a little over $2 million in that fund. Those dollars assigned to transportation expenditures in our district. It's a very important note, and kind of a side topic, we're really hopeful for an increase in transportation funding. We end up running about, the presentation says $2.5 million. I touched base with our transportation director over the weekend, and that number is actually rising to closer to $3 million shortfall that we see in between our transportation expenditures and the state transportation grant that we receive. So every year we end up subsidizing our transportation services with general fund, basically funds that are intended for instruction of students. We have to take those dollars and subsidize our transportation services. So by the end of this school year, we will be at $0, probably actually in the negative. And so, again, just a significant need there in the transportation world. On the nutrition services side, we have a little under $2 million in restricted funds specifically for our food service activities. And we generally subsidize about $500,000 from the general fund to our food service program. Going to the next slide, this lists out some other funds that folks might see balances for Fairbanks. Our capital projects fund, about $1 million. Those are restricted funds to specific capital projects in the district. In the risk fund, that's our the main draw on the risk fund is our health insurance expenditures district-wide, but also other unemployment insurance, workers' comp liability, other things like that. Those are committed dollars to risk expenditures. About just also for context there, about $35 to $40 million annually running through the risk fund, just for context on how much that $3 million is, less than 10%. Our equipment replacement fund, that's a fund that's actually dedicated to replacing technology devices for staff and students district-wide. That actually, our board has been forced to make cuts to payments funding that fund. And it currently stands in the negative, as you can see. Those are committed funds, again, to devices for staff and students. And then our activities funds are funds raised by students around the district, classes, programs, clubs, and students district-wide committed specifically to those activities for which those funds are raised. And going to the next slide is a summary of all the numbers that I just outlined. About $42.2 million total. Again, so large numbers being seen. And again, just want to repeat myself there. Of the $42.2 million total, only $13.5 million actually available to the district to spend on a number of different things that I'll go over on the next slide, actually. We're estimating that $13.5 million will drop between $3 and $5 million. I'm putting about a $10 million anticipated end as of FY25 due to a significant enrollment drop that Fairbanks experienced. And so our state revenue is going to come in significantly lower than originally anticipated. So we anticipated going through about $3 to $4 million of that FY24 fund balance by the end of FY25. And then the last slide, just wanted to provide some final thoughts. I think, you know, a lot of times we go through the annual exercise of, you know, these numbers being floated. Obviously, the big five, the larger districts are going to have some of the larger numbers around the state. I think, you know, there's a lot of big numbers, and unfortunately, these are some complicated topics, and a lot of times there can be confusion around these numbers, and which might lead to misinformation that can float around the building. And we're happy, again, to provide clarity and context to those numbers, and happy to answer any questions about the uses of the different balances and best practices, which I wanted to go over here, appropriate uses of fund balance, emergencies, and I'll provide an example of each one. COVID, it was a perfect example of an emergency that districts really had to scramble during, you know, a year to 2 year process, where here in Fairbanks, we actually went to zero on that spendable amount. The 13.5 was literally zero. Technically, it was negative. I won't go into the details of how we can go negative, but we were technically negative from an auditing perspective. Opportunities are we have a one-to-one initiative. Devices, one device for each student in the district, as many districts have. We used fund balance several years ago to kickstart that initiative of one-to-one, a device in every student's hand. And then unanticipated revenue declines. I mentioned the revenue or the enrollment drop that we experienced this year. Also, we about 8 or 9% of Fairbanks' overall revenue comes from federal impact aid, and that revenue can be very volatile from 1 year to the next. It's difficult to anticipate where those numbers will come in each year, and we have in the past experienced significant declines 1 year to the next in our impact aid revenue. What isn't an appropriate use is using cash reserves, one-time money, on regular ongoing operations of a school district. Obviously, districts are going to do what they need to do to maintain operations in tight revenue environments in which we find ourselves right now. Fairbanks has used in many past years fund balance to maintain status quo as best we can. So I don't fault districts for doing that, but certainly a best practice is to not use one-time cash reserves on regular ongoing expenditures. And one of the big reasons why is preserving fund balance is, I think most in Alaska realize, but sometimes people new to say don't, school districts in the state of Alaska are 100% beholden to three revenue sources, local, state, and federal revenue sources. Districts do not have the ability to raise any revenue. We can advocate with our funding sources, but we have zero ability to raise any revenue on our own in any meaningful way. So very important to preserve fund balance the best we can for those appropriate uses on the left side. I think that concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to stand for any questions.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. DeGraw. Senator Bjorkman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. DeGraw, I'm wondering of the $10 million that you have left after 2025, what portion of that $10 million does your board expect to use to fund next school year, fiscal year 26?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Senator Bjorkman. I would say, so right now, for example, back to the shortfall of our transportation services compared to the revenue we receive each year, right now in our FY26 budget, we have $2 million set aside to cover that anticipated $3 million deficit. So in my fiscal conservative state of mind, I'm always trying to hold the board back from using any fund balance that isn't 100% necessary. I would anticipate we'll probably need to at least budget, I would say, minimum $1 to $2 million more of that 10 that we anticipate to remain, and possibly more, just depending on how things shake out in Juneau this legislative cycle.
Hello?
So to answer your question succinctly, minimum $1 to $2 million and possibly more depending on how things shake out.
Understood. So you would use, you would need to use some of that $10 million to cover your transportation shortfall in 25?
I would anticipate that. We've seen different, obviously different proposals as far as shoring up that transportation funding, 10%, 20%. I think the latest I saw was 10%. That is about $1 million for Fairbanks. And so to look at that $3 million shortfall that we're anticipating, if we get an additional one, we still have a $2 million shortfall. So, yes, that is where we would. We've been covering that from fund balance that you saw. We have still had about $2 million at the end of FY24. A couple of years ago, that was $4 or $5 million. We saw a significant increase during COVID. So we've been using fund balance to shore up our transportation services. That's going to be gone, and so we're going to have to start funding 100% of that shortfall out of the general fund starting next year.
Understood. So your feeling is that your team, together with your school board, is not your intention to use any additional fund balance from your $8 million to fund your FY26 budget?
If we receive zero additional transportation funding for FY26 from the current legislative cycle that you folks are working through, we would have to fund approximately $3 million of that 10.
Understood.
Any increase that we can get will reduce that $3 million we'd need to take from the 10.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. DeGraw. Any additional questions? Seeing none, I want to thank you again for that presentation. It's helpful to understand. We will now move to the Juneau School District, where we are joined in person by Superintendent Hauser. Mr. Hauser, if you could please identify yourself for the record and take it away.
Yeah, thank you. We're working on some. I don't think my slides are included in here.
Can we have a brief at ease?
Brief at ease.
Sorry.
And we're back on the record here in Senate Education. It is 3:58 p.m. here on Monday, April 28th. We are joined by Superintendent Hauser, who's going to walk us through their overview of their school district fund balance here in the Juneau School District.
Thank you, Chair Tobin. Members of the Senate Education Committee, my name is Frank Hauser. I'm the superintendent of the Juneau School District. Thank you for providing me an opportunity to speak with you today. So I've actually had a very odd couple of weeks. Just over a week ago at the governor's press conference, Commissioner of Education made an erroneous statement about the Juneau School District. She incorrectly stated that, quote, at the 680, the Juneau School District came out with a balanced budget. A few weeks later, their board voted on a zero input, and now they have a deficit as well as others, end quote. As this news article pointed out, that is simply not true. As has been widely reported for months, the Juneau School District assumed a $400 BSA or one-time fund equivalent. And at no time during the FY26 budget process did the board entertain the idea of developing a deficit budget. Rather, after hard but necessary work of consolidation last year, the district maintained operations, avoided layoffs, and passed a balanced budget. This was the release we had to put out after these erroneous statements were made in a press conference. The odd part of my last 2 weeks is that we were accused of having a deficit, and now I'm here speaking on fund balance because that seems to be the new assertion. We are like Schrodinger's cat, accused at the same time of having both a deficit and a fund balance.
Superintendent Hauser, can I just ask for the committee's information, approximately how much of your time is taken with navigating erroneous information that's being shared about your school district's finances?
I have not had a chance to go through and quantify that. I would say, unfortunately, a significant part of time is spent addressing that. And as you'll see, we have, from last year and into this year, have really started to have a saying in the Juneau School District about spreading the facts. It's unfortunate, but yeah, there's a lot of misinformation that gets shared out there. Thank you, Madam Chair. So really, frankly, this is absurd. We seem to have reached the point at which accusations, no matter how unfunded or contradictory, are simply hurled at districts. So I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today. I'm going to share a saying that we have in the Juneau School District, like I said, spread the facts. We know that misinformation spreads like wildfire, but we can make a different choice to intentionally spread the facts. And let me say one other thing. There is such a thing as a fact. We are talking today about numbers and math and public budgets and public budget meetings and public reports and the results of yearly independent public audits. We're going to take a look at these facts now with some charts. Another piece of misinformation that floats around is that districts don't have audits. As you know, this isn't true. It's just a flat-out false statement. We have an independent outside audit every single year. In FY 2024, the Juneau School District had an audit identified $1.89 million in available fund balance. You can see also on this chart the years that the Juneau School District had a negative fund balance, leading to the financial crisis we dug ourselves out of. And we did that by making hard choices on consolidation and closures last year, including the closure of the district office building. And you see the start of the financial recovery here with the return to a positive fund balance. In FY 25, the Juneau School District realized savings with consolidation plus vacancies and remaining one-time funds. Fund balance is balancing the FY 2026 budget. And I'm going to say that again. If you hear comments tomorrow about fund balance in the Juneau School District after hearing 2 weeks ago that we had a deficit, you will know that we have a balanced budget for FY 26 because we are using fund balance to balance it. Again, that fund balance follows from consolidation and the hold harmless provision, plus vacancies and remaining one-time funds. We are in a national educator shortage, and we're here in Alaska are starting behind the eight ball with our lack of a defined benefit retirement plan. When I was a new teacher, the Alaska Teacher Placement Fair would welcome thousands of nationwide applicants. It was a big deal. Alaska was a sought-after teaching placement. Over the years, Alaska became less competitive, and that number fell and fell. The in-person event is now shuttered. By the time we in Alaska know what our state funding is, we are further behind the eight ball. We're off the pool table. Because everyone else has already been hiring, and that available applicant pool is close to non-existent for some positions. So the vacancies we have are helping balance next year's budget, but they are also the symptom of a larger statewide issue. Again, we are using fund balance to balance the FY 26 budget. And then for FY 2026, our projected available year-end fund balance is just over $1.4 million, which is just over our board policy required minimum of 1.5%. School boards around the state have adopted fund balance policies for a reason, to protect the financial stability of districts. So when you hear criticism of fund balance, you are likely also hearing criticism of locally adopted policies. We have the lower limit on fund balance set by board policy. There is an upper limit on district fund balance set at the state level, 10% of expenditures for that fiscal year. But this state upper limit for fund balances falls short of recommended practices. The Government Finance Officers Association, or the GFOA, recommends, regardless of size, maintaining an unreserved budget funds balance in the general fund of no less than 2 months of regular general fund operating revenues or expenditures. Based on the Juneau School District's FY 2025 revised budget of $70.1 million, the state limits districts to holding a maximum of 10% of that amount in the unrestricted fund balance, which would be just over $7 million for the Juneau School District. If districts followed the GFOA's recommendation of maintaining 2 months of operating expenses, this would amount to approximately $11,696,130. This means that the state's 10% limit is roughly $4.7 million less than the amount recommended by GFOA to maintain fiscal stability. The state is effectively limiting districts from holding the recommended amount to ensure long-term stability and flexibility. You've heard from others today on best business practices, and I'll just ask a rhetorical question. If there were a CEO sitting here who was one of the largest employers in their city or region, would you recommend they had nothing in the bank? Would that sound like a good idea? I think I'm uniquely qualified to tell you what a terrible idea it is for districts to spend all of their fund balance. I took over in a district that had spent down its fund balance, and we faced last year what has been called the worst financial crisis in the history of the district. This is the email I sent to the community in January of 2024. I am in the unenviable position of being new to Juneau, uncovering a difficult situation that may challenge assumptions and delivering unwelcome news. But my job is not to tell you what you want to hear, it's to tell you the truth. The truth is that the district must make both immediate and long-term financial changes. All of our jobs together will be to look at that truth without blinking and with the courage and resolution to address it. We did that in the Juneau School District. We made changes. We consolidated schools. We even closed the district office. And I'm happy to say our last audit fund found all funds in a positive balance. We don't need to do a statewide experiment on what happens if all districts have no fund balance. JSD did that for you. Here's the historic trend of audited fund balance in JSD. Look at that zero line, and you can see our financial crisis coming. In order to maintain programming in schools without a meaningful increase in the base student allocation, districts like JSD have been forced to spend down their fund balance in order to weather the storm. You see that in 2021? Then the district reached a breaking point and went underwater. And the thing about deficits is that they have a way of growing every year, and you see that in 2023. It took a Herculean effort to flip that around and get above water. Districts have already reached a breaking point. Targeting fund balance will plunge them further into crisis. Fund balance is often referred to as a district savings account. But as the Government Finance Officers Association contends, fund balance or reserves should be rethought of as an insurance policy. This way of thinking connects fund balance or reserves directly with their role in managing risk. Because we never know when something like this will happen in one of our schools.
And Superintendent, let me just interrupt here for a moment to note that Senator Keel has joined us at 4:08 p.m.
Thank you, Chair. Or something like this will happen in our community. Or this will happen. Part of our financial recovery has been rebuilding that fund balance, that savings account or insurance policy to help weather storms and unexpected events and to mitigate the impacts of continued fiscal uncertainty on student opportunities and programming. I would be remiss if I didn't conclude by connecting the dots here. Pressure to spend down fund balance would undermine districts' financial stability. Remember, the state statute, by state statute, we may not even have 2 months of operating expenses in reserve. And then we have the second prong, the proposed deed regulation coming in June that would further destabilize districts, cut local funding for things not even included in the disparity test, and saw through the very last thread of an already threadbare safety net. Thank you again for providing me an opportunity to speak with you today.
Thank you. Thank you, Superintendent Hauser. Are there any questions? Seeing none, I want to thank you once again for your informative presentation.
Thank you.
Can we have a brief at ease?
Brief at ease. And we're back on the record here in Senate Education. Mr. Hauser, I do have one question related to the pictures related on Auk Bay. And I'm anticipating that repairs are ongoing, and I'm curious, with some of the recent shifts going on nationally with regards to tariffs and construction materials and such, the resources that you had anticipated to address these issues? Are you looking at any significant cost increases?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. We are. One of the lucky things with the Auk Bay repair is we were able to make a lot of the purchases and plans for that back in January and February before some of the tariffs went into effect. And so we're not necessarily anticipating any major shifts in costs, though we do have to replace the flooring in the commons area, and that is happening over the summer. And so there's still some uncertainty of what that potentially could lead to. But yes, that is absolutely a concern, as well as we are in the process of finalizing when we had a flood a few years ago at Cuxagoohene and the library was flooded out. We are now getting the final insurance payments on that a couple years later. And that is something that we are very much concerned about, is the impact of tariffs on cost. And that is something that we'll just have to work through, utilizing the available funds through fund balance to address if it's not available to be dealt with through any insurance or other options. So that is definitely something we're concerned about.
Thank you. Thank you for that. I do fear for our communities as we continue to see the effects of climate change and some of these large-scale natural disasters and increasing severity and increasing occurrence, how that might impact some of our schools as they're trying to address these with the limited resources they have. Thank you. Seeing no additional questions, we will now move on to the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District, where Superintendent Holland is joining us online to walk us through their fund balance.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Clayton Holland. I am the superintendent for the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. I'm joined by the KPBSD Finance Director, Elizabeth Hayes, who will actually be I'm doing the majority of presenting for us today.
Madam Chair, for the record, my name is Elizabeth Hayes. I am the Director of Finance for the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District, and I am here to talk about our fund balance. I will be talking about the FY24 audited fund balance. The first slide is presented as GASB format, and you'll see it toward the end of the slide is unassigned. That is the fund balance that was unassigned at the end of FY24. In the assigned category, we had 4.6 million assigned for subsequent year, which would be the current year we're in, to use for this year to balance our budget at for FY25. After the budget was passed for FY25, we had to allocate an additional $1.5 million of fund balance to meet the needs of rising costs in the current fiscal year, which leaves us an unassigned fund balance of about $285,000 going into FY26. In the FY26 budget, we are not using any fund balance because $285,000 available does not leave us much wiggle room, and we have a $17 million deficit that we are working on closing through cuts, anticipated revenue from the state, and possible closure of some of our schools. Next slide, please. Next slide is presented by the compliance report that is required by the state of Alaska. And you will see that our non-exempt or unreserved fund balance is at $13.6 million, and that's 9.9% of our expenditures for FY24. Included in that is the unassigned fund balance, the subsequent year operations, which I just explained where you have allocated for FY25, so that money will not be available going into FY26. We do have a committed fund balance that the board has set aside in case of emergency. That money is sitting in that $13.8 million. And then about $1.9 million is facility maintenance fund balance that we don't have access to unless the Kenai Peninsula Borough releases those funds for our use. So that is where we're at with our fund balance. I'd also like to note that our transportation area is also a concern. We are currently transferring $550,000 per year to support the student transportation department. They had an ending fund balance in FY24 of $34,000. That will be gone at the end of this year. And they are looking at cutting up to 8 routes. And what that means for our students in our district is the routes will not be able to go down some of the roads that go off the highway, the students are going to have to find their way out to the highway to be picked up by the bus if we have to cut that many routes from our communities. That's a pretty big deal on the peninsula. We're 26,000 square miles. We are a very large district spread out over a very large geographical area. Is there any questions for Superintendent Holland or myself?
Ms. Hayes, I do have one question related to the $550,000 that you anticipate for transportation. Can you tell us how much the approximate amount of that is to your total expenditures for student transportation? Does that represent 30% or 40%?
Our total expenditures for FY24 in our transportation department was $8.3 million.
Oh, if I could do math quickly in my head. Alas, that is not a skill set I have. Senator Bjorkman?
Thank you, Superintendent Holland and Ms. Hayes, for joining us today. So just to reiterate, I understand that you don't have audited financials for FY25, but as we make decisions for FY26, I think it's very important that the public look at as recent numbers as are available. So can you reiterate what your expended fund balance is for the end, after you complete FY25, what you expect the fund balance to be?
That's a hard number to quantify this early in the process, but I don't anticipate it increasing. The total fund balance for FY24 was $18.5 million. I don't anticipate that increasing because we are currently slated to use a little over $5 million in the current fiscal year of that fund balance.
Follow-up?
I'll restate the question. What do you anticipate the unassigned fund balance to be that is spendable that you could possibly use to build the FY26 budget?
Currently, what I am sure about is $285,000.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Hayes. Any additional questions? Seeing none, I want to thank you again for your presentation. We will now move on to our last presentation for today, where we are joined by Deputy Superintendent Gardner from the Mat-Su Borough School District. Ms. Gardner, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your presentation when you are ready.
Good evening, Chair Tobin, or afternoon, and Senate Education Committee. With the rescheduling, I'm also joined by the Mat-Su Superintendent, Dr. Randy Traney, and we'll turn it over to him to start.
Hello, Mr. Traney, please identify yourself for the record, and you know the drill.
Thank you, Chair Tobin. I'm Randy Traney, the superintendent of the Mat-Su Borough School District, and we have a very short presentation, about five slides, counting our lead slide there. And I just want to kind of highlight the challenge that is budgeting in a K-12 world. It's filled with uncertainty. And one of the tools that we use to deal with that uncertainty is ending fund balance. And so I just want to take this opportunity to thank the Senate for all of your efforts for House Bill 57. If it's passed by the House and if the governor supports it, it's going to provide some certainty for us to move forward. So thank you for all that work. The last thing I'll say before I turn it back over to Deputy Superintendent Gardner is I want to highlight what I think is the most important aspect of this brief presentation. On slide three, if you look in the lower right-hand corner, you're going to see that in our general fund, you don't have to look now. You can hold this. You can look if you want. There's a little orange line on that last bar. That's what we think we will have in our general fund for the start of next year, not counting charter school funds. So about $5 million out of about $235 million, or a little more than 2%. So this tool that we use of fund balance to manage uncertainty, a 2% fund balance tool is not an overly large tool. In fact, it's probably going to be less than what we're required by board code. And with that, I'll hand it over to Deputy Superintendent Gardner.
Thank you. So Lisa, if you wouldn't mind, perfect, that second slide. For the record, Catherine Gardner, Deputy Superintendent for Business and Operations for the Mat-Su Borough School District. So my peers have talked a bit about the areas of fund balance that we are tracking, so I will not review what those areas are. I'll just try to tell a little bit of the Matsu story so that you can see. We have really four funds that we are tracking, and one is a conglomerate of many funds. And all of those funds, except for the general fund, really have a very dedicated purpose. So that's why you'll see that the money that is available there is really more in the committed, the restricted, or the non-spendable areas. The first, of course, is our general fund. And you can see that we have about $7.92 million that's non-spendable, $3.39 million that's restricted, and then $21.18 million that is unassigned, that's available for use. And I'll talk more about that in a minute. But in addition, we have a renewal and replacement fund similar to the fund that's available for the Fairbanks School District. That is the fund that we are using for small capital projects. So this would be carpet replacements, upgrades to schools that are not capitalized assets, as well as what we use for our one-to-one initiative and also for staff technology refresh. These funds, we have stopped almost entirely replacing these funds as we've had shortfalls in our budget for the last couple of years, but this will support about 5 years of us to continue those initiatives. Additionally, we have about $5 million in the CIP fund. Those are all designated for specific projects. And then we have a conglomeration of things from our other governmental funds. This includes food services, student activities, and then a number of other smaller funds that we are tracking. In terms of the general operating fund, if you would go to the next slide, you can see what fund balance has been for us over the last about 10 years. And at the end of fiscal year 2024, the Matsu School District had $21 million in unassigned fund balance. We provide a fund balance that is saved by charter schools. We reserve that for those schools to use for their purposes. So of that $21 million, about $3.5 million is what we call the charter school unassigned fund balance, which leaves about $17.5 million for the school district general fund. We budgeted about $11.8 million for use in fiscal year 2025. We anticipate that we will use most, if not all, of that budgeted use, which is going to bring us down to roughly about $5 million that will be available for fiscal year 2026. And in the superintendent proposed budget that the board approved, we are budgeting the use of about $2.5 million of that for fiscal year 2026, which will bring us down potentially at the end of 2026 to about $2.5 million in unassigned fund balance. It'll be our hope that we don't have to use all of that, but that would be a very low figure for the Matsu School District at about a $270 million general operating fund budget. And so that's where we sit currently. The last thing I'll say, Lisa, on the next slide, if you would, is just really how we have managed our fund balance. Like all districts have talked about, we use fund balance to support unexpected fluctuations in revenue. We also had a reduction in student enrollment for the current year, and so we use that fund balance to help deal with costs that were already incurred and secured. It allows us to address emergent situations. Last year, we had a boiler that failed in one of our schools that had to be replaced that was not anticipated, and those things tend to come up. It allows us to also be more precise with our budgeting. So you heard the Anchorage School District talk about this a little bit. We can feel pretty confident in budgeting for vacancy factors and attrition and those kinds of things when we have fund balance available in case those assumptions prove not to be correct. But that fund balance provides us with resources to fall back on when the unexpected happens. The last thing I'll mention, really for consistency with my peers, is the Matsu School District also struggles with pupil transportation. We do not have a fund balance in pupil transportation. That's why you won't see it on any of the previous slides. Our pupil transportation operation costs about $20 million annually, and we receive about $15 million from the state in the state grant. So we have about $5 million that we use from general operating funds to subsidize pupil transportation. For this year, and then again for next year, depending on what that rate is. So Those resources are also important to us and really impact both pupil transportation, but also our general fund. So certainly if there are questions, Dr. Trainee and I would be happy to answer them. Thank you for your time today and for the opportunity to explain a little bit about the resources available.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Deputy Superintendent Gardner. Are there any questions? Senator Keel.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Gardner, I didn't catch your in discussion of your use of some fund balance for the coming fiscal year, what BSA number do you base, assumption do you base that on?
Through the chair to Senator Keel. So the school board approved a budget for fiscal year 2026 that assumed $1,000 BSA increase. Even under $1,000, we were budgeting the use of $2.5 million in fund balance. I anticipate with a lower BSA number, we will not add additional use of fund balance because that fund balance number is just too low to do that. We will identify other reductions to personnel and non-personnel areas to balance once a final decision is made on state funding.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Gardner. Seeing no additional questions here from committee members, I do want to note for the record, if folks will look on basis, there is also a letter from the Anchorage School District that walks through a bit more about their fund balance from Superintendent Bryant. In addition, there is also a document dated December 2023, which provides a brief explanation of fund balance and some of the terms that was used today for folks who might want additional information. And that includes explaining what the GFOA, the Government Finance Officers Association, is, and also some of their recommendations, as well as an explanation of what the GASB is, which is the Governmental Accounting Standards Board statement, which helps provide some additional information about what are these different terms that some of these finance officers have used for those of us who might have multiple Bachelor of Arts and Masters of Arts degrees, but not anything within the science realm that's heavily numbers-based. With that being said, this concludes our agenda for today. Seeing as there's no additional comments from committee members, I want to let folks know that on Wednesday, we will be hearing the first hearing of Senate Bill 181, Employment Information Disclosure. We will also take back up Senate Bill 8, Education for Deaf and Hearing Impaired. As there is no other business before us today, I will adjourn at 4:28 p.m.